give all the credit to Michael Vick. We give him a much respect, but nobody respected us as a defense. Give me some respect right now.
You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at InsideThePylon.com, BreakingFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. As always, I am joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben. Another loaded show, man. Another preview. How you doing, brother?
Mike, what does this book say right here? Double dop and dino? Double hop and dino? What am I looking at right now?
Oh, my setup here.
Yeah.
It's a double pop and dino. I'm using it as a prop to get the microphone closer to my face.
Oh, very nice. I love it. Was that a little toy for little Augustus?
Yeah, exactly. My office has now turned into a playroom.
Yeah, that's the life, man. That's how you know you've made it.
Yeah. How you doing today, man?
Oh, man. Every day is a dream. I'm all packed up. I'm all quote-unquote ready to go. I'm flying out, man. Tomorrow is the day. Heading up to the Senior Bowl, heading out to Mobile. I'm there a weekend early. My sister lives down in that area, so I'm visiting her in Alabama. But man, I'm so excited. This wouldn't be the best football weekend of my life, man. This is the Eagles championship game, and then a week in Mobile, Alabama. I'm over the moon.
Yeah.
Just over the moon.
Yeah, it is going to be a fun weekend. I'll be joining you on Tuesday early in the AM to pick up my media passes, check out the weigh-in. It's going to be a good time. All right, so let's dig into this game. Okay, so for this preview, we did offense yesterday. Go back and listen to that show. And today, we're going to be the Eagles defense against the Vikings offense, as is standard fare here on Locked On Eagles. We'll start with the Pro Football Focus run blocking and pass blocking advantages, how they see it. They have it as negative 13% in the pass blocking area, negative 20% in the running game. As far as the Vikings ground game goes, they don't have an active running back on the roster that has more than 4 yards per carry this year, but they were on an 8-game streak of 100 yards rushing, and then just fell short of that with 95 against the Saints, when you could argue they really, really needed that ground game to hum with that 17-0 lead. It fell short with Latavius Murray, especially, who only had 50 yards on 19 carries. Looking at it even further, starting from when the Vikings took a 17-point lead early in the second quarter to when the Saints took the lead late in the fourth quarter, the Vikings had 10 runs for 24 yards in that span. And you have to feel like that if the Eagles go down early, like the Saints did, that it's not time to hit the panic button yet, because this Eagles run defense at home with Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, Brandon Graham, and the gang will be able to shut down the Vikings run attack and give the Eagles chances to claw their way back into this thing. As far as Latavius Murray as a back, Bryce Rossler from the Scouting Academy, follow him at BT Rossler, that's BTRossler. Recently did an evaluation on him for Scouting Academy, and here are some of the highlights. Marginal athletic ability, adequate quickness and balance, marginal change of direction, hip fluidity, and lateral agility. Didn't consistently demonstrate the ability to press gaps, to manipulate linebackers, and must demonstrate more patience to set up second-level blockers. Adequate burst, runs upright, decelerates into the hole when color flashes. And I would 100% agree with that assessment. Murray's feet are tied to his brain, and when he has to process anything other than a clear lane, his brain slows down, his feet slow down, and for a big back, he's Charmin soft as a finisher, I'll put it that way. Ben, I was thinking about the film work that you did yesterday on the Vikings run defense, where you said it didn't take long for you to go through all the 2017 plays where an opposing team had a rushing play of 10 yards or more, and those explosive plays. And yeah, the Vikings allowed the least amount of 10-plus yard runs in the league with 20. Conversely, the Eagles run defense ranks fourth in that category, only allowing 36 on the year. And as an aside, while the Eagles rank first in the league on offense in explosive run plays over 10 yards, the Vikings are middle of the pack offensively in that regard. Basically, the Eagles should be able to limit chunk damage on defense and force Keenum to win it with his arm. And that's interesting too, because keeping with the trend of explosive plays in the passing game of 20 yards or more, the Eagles are tied for fifth best in the league with the vaunted Jacksonville Jaguars defense at limiting those plays. And Ben, I'll tell you right now, looking through all these stats and these situational things, I'm getting the feeling more and more that this is going to be a tightly fought slugfest unless one team comes out incredibly sloppy. Now, shifting the focus back to the run game for this piece, what can the Eagles do from a schematic standpoint to shut down the ground game of the Vikings?
You know, how's Philadelphia going to shut down Minnesota's running game? To me, it has nothing to do with Minnesota's running game, and it has everything to do with how Philadelphia has continuously shut down running games all season. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, schematically, nothing changes.
Yeah.
You continue to Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan. One of them's at the 3-tech, one of them's at the 1-tech. We've seen more Bo Allen recently. We saw a good deal of him against Atlanta, which was interesting. That wasn't necessarily something that we saw coming. He had more snaps to cut into Jimmy Jernigan's a little bit. Jernigan did have an ankle injury late in the season, but we haven't seen him on the injury report. So I think that was more just about the opponent and the way they kind of wanted to face up against them. Either way, Allen played quite well, but Jernigan and Cox being your two big money guys, they play in the middle. You tell them they penetrate, they disrupt, they cause problems. You can't run a finely tuned little offensive line scheme, you know, little games against this Philadelphia defensive front. Very, very difficult. You know, we talk about how the Eagles offensive line traps a lot of interior defensive linemen, especially the good run defending ones. Well, why isn't that done against the Philadelphia defensive linemen? It's done. They try it. You can do it with some success. Cox and Jernigan tend to be too quick.
Yeah.
And often if you get them the first time, okay, you try to do that again, go back to the well, they usually catch on to it, right? Very, very, very good interior. Probably the best interior duo in the league, Philadelphia in the interior defensive line. Where the Eagles can be weak against the run. We should also give a second to say Nigel Bradham, Michael Kendricks, playing very well against the run, downhill, love to attack, wonderful. Where the Eagles can be weak is the discipline of their defensive ends. Brandon Graham, very disciplined defensive end against the run, rarely outside of position, always disrupting, excellent defender. On the opposite side, you either have Vinnie Curry, who has been playing better against the run this year than he usually has. Mm-hmm. However, in the past few games, he has been caught flying upfield, which he always will be. That's Vinny's nature. He'll run himself up out of position. He'll take the cheese on misdirection, and that's the direction you want to go. If it's not Vinnie Curry, then it's often Derek Barnett. Derek Barnett's a rookie. You know, recognition isn't up at NFL speed. You know, it gets better and better every week. Derek Barnett has always been a solid run defender, but he's not an overwhelming run defender. If he's on the line, he's usually the fourth worst. Let's put it that way. On the first team line, I should say. I like Chris Long. I think Chris Long is the Eagles' second best run defending defensive end. He might be pushing Brandon Graham for first best. Honestly, he just doesn't see as many snaps, so he doesn't make as many impact plays. Incredibly savvy veteran. I would love to see Chris Long get a higher incidence of snaps if Minnesota comes out with a very run first game. Mike, when it comes to Minnesota's running game, very important to note, left guard Nick Easton, good player, young player, goes out with a fractured ankle against the Packers in week 15, right? And Mike Remmers, the usual right tackle, moves now over to left guard. And Rashad Hill, backup, steps up to right tackle. Now, a lot of that is because they feel like Rashad Hill was their next best offensive lineman, and he's most comfortable at tackle. So you move a right tackle to a left guard. That's an uncommon move, right? Usually tackles are your more valuable players. In doing so, and we know this from when Steven Wisniewski was out at left guard, you do disrupt the continuity of that offensive line. Uh-huh. Remmers is not naturally a tackle. He's not naturally a guard. He is naturally a tackle. And so I'm very interested to see, after Fletcher Cox caused huge problems against a backup left guard last week against Atlanta, you got another one, technically. I mean, he's a very good player, Mike Remmers is. But you have another shuffled interior offensive line. There was a big narrative with Fletcher Cox, you know, got to take over the Atlanta game. He took over the Atlanta game. I'd love for him to be approaching the Minnesota Viking game in the same way. I'm here to take this game over. I'm the highest played player on this field right now, which I believe he is. With all the Minnesota players out there, I believe he is the highest paid player out there when it's Eagle defense, Minnesota offense. You're the best player. Take over the game.
One thing I was reading, there was a piece up on ESPN by John Keem. He asked the Washington Redskins coach, Jay Gruden, about both these teams. And here's what he had to say about the Eagles' run defense. Inside zone is easier because they play the wide nine from time to time, but you still have to get Cox and Jernigan blocked. Easier said than done, unquote. That basically came with like one of those shrug emojis along with it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So one more stat before we move on. The Vikings have the second most rushing attempts for zero or negative yards. One in every five runs by Murray are stuffed.
Wow.
One in every four McKinnon runs are over before they ever get started. So that is something to look for. Hey, Ben, what is the most common problem for men when they're trying to pick up women?
What? Trick question. They're not wearing Eagles gear from Lockdown Eagles Tee Public Store?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, because confidence is the main part of it. But
okay, confidence. Okay.
Yeah, but when you're wearing an official Lockdown Eagles shirt from the Tee Public Store, you get that boost in confidence. I surveyed 10 doctors, and 9 out of those 10 doctors said, "Who are you? Why are you calling?" But the one that actually did answer said that confidence definitely comes from the Locked On Eagles shirt. I don't know what doctors have to do with the psychological aspect of being confident, but I trust that doctor. He's a good doctor. And he also said that his coffee 100% tastes better with a Locked On Eagles coffee mug. Ben, what's your favorite piece of merchandise from the Locked On Eagles T Public store?
I mean, okay, obviously is still the onesie, the little baby onesie. That one still just like kills me. But we have put in a new design, which should be coming out pretty soon, actually. So that's probably my favorite. I just don't want to spoil that just yet.
Yeah, we got new stuff coming up on that Locked On Eagles T Public site. Go to tpublic.com/user/LockedOnEagles, or just go to tpublic.com, put Locked On Eagles in the search bar. You will be able to get your bleeding green baby, that little onesie, it's always desired. All right, Ben. Pass rush time for the Eagles. 27 more pressures than anybody else this season. Brandon Graham destroyed Schrader. He's going to destroy Hill, who you mentioned already. Cox had 54 pressures on the year, working somewhat in a rotation as well. He had less snaps than last year. He's going to eat in the middle. We talked about the importance of not only getting home, but also securing Keenum, who does well to escape the pocket. And he typically functions well outside of structure, but last week against the Saints, 5.1 QB rating under pressure, a playoff low, truly abysmal. Outside of that, I just flat out don't think this Vikings line can hang with this pass rush. The Eagles are going to play it straight up. They don't blitz as much as the Vikings do, which is already not a whole lot. They don't stunt as much either. They're just going to get one-on-one, and they're going to beat you. Before we dig into the schemes that the Vikings may utilize to neutralize the pass rush, I kind of want to bring this into a passing game talk in general as well. Pro Football Focus right. has the matchups as such. Stephon Diggs will mostly work against Jalen Mills. Adam Thielen gets Patrick Robinson. Laquan Treadwell and Jarius Wright will see Ronald Darby in coverage, with a reminder that Treadwell lost most of his snaps to Wright last week. You'll see a mixture of guys in the slot for Minnesota, so these matchups are definitely not set in stone. But Wright has run 80% of his limited snaps in the slot this year. Thielen runs half of his snaps from the slot. You got Diggs, who runs a quarter of his snaps from the slot as well. Diggs and Thielen can work both inside and outside. In the passing game, you've also got the Vikings running back Jerick McKinnon, who has 51 catches on the year. One thing that Jay Gruden also said about this, they tried to get Chris Thompson, the Washington Redskins running back, who has a similar style as McKinnon, on Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham, but he said that Bradham did a very good job on him as well. Part of getting McKinnon involved requires the screen game, which I think you'll see a heavy dose of. The other factor in the passing game is play action. The Vikings stick with the run, whether it's working or not, which allows them to run a lot of play action. Keenum passes out of play action at the second highest percentage in the league and has a top five quarterback rating within that structure. Gruden also chimed in on how to attack the Eagles secondary, saying that the Vikings need to force them to communicate pre-snap by utilizing bunch formations and mixing releases to get them confused or to get them to check in his zone drops and then attack those zones. So screens, play action, mesh, which is two shallow crossing routes, looking for that natural rub or pick, depending on how you see it, and also bunch with intersecting route combinations or some concepts that may be featured heavily on Sunday. Ben, what say you about the pass rush, the advantages in the passing game, the pass blocking, so on and so forth?
I'm 100% with you. With all the schemes you just named, the deployments you just named, are 100% there. And very interesting to note, we just talked about the running game. Minnesota was held below 100 rushing yards for the first time since Week 8 against the Saints. Uh-huh. Right? On the flip side, they had over 300 passing yards for the first time since Week 10 against the Redskins, I believe it was. Yeah. And so this is a team that I think is growing more and more into Keenum. And they're more and more willing to keep the ball in his hands. Obviously, like you said, 17-point lead for a portion of the game against the Saints, a solid two-possession lead, yet still we saw that they were more effective throwing the football. And so we've heard this so many times before. I wanted to face Keenum instead of Breeze, you know, Case Keenum. The Keenum and Foles situation is not the same. Foles has been playing for, this will be his fifth week. Keenum has been playing for almost 13 at this point. Mm-hmm. It's entirely different. And this offense is Keenum's. This offense is running based off of Keenum's skills, whereas the Eagles are still working into developing this offense to better fit Nick Foles. That's still a process that's ongoing. Pat Shurmur is going to be the head coach of the Giants, Mike. The Eagles have struggled with the Giants passing game the entire year, both times they faced them, right? Pat Shurmur understands that the best way, you know, talking about passing game and pressure, it's going to be a quick game. Mm-hmm. We hate watching them as Philadelphia fans. It's annoying. It's bothersome. It feels like it should have easy solutions, but it doesn't. It's going to be the quick passing game. It's going to be, I think the point, I believe it was Baldinger who made it about switch releases, about bunch formations. I think you're going to see a ton of that. Mm. And then I think the point you made about the screen game is very strong as well. I expect the screen game in a big way, because I very much expect first couple of drives, Minnesota's trying to establish the run. They're getting nothing. Crowd is very much into it. When you get a team overhyped like that, you can hit them with a screen quite easily, right? And we think about traditional slow play screens. Don't be afraid of tunnel screens, bullet screens. They're going to run those with a guy like Diggs, who is insanely effective after the catch against a secondary that hasn't been tackling super well in recent weeks. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be running wide receiver screens. I would certainly be doing so as well. And so that's what I anticipate. What you need from the Philadelphia defense, in the event that Shurmur says, okay, we're going to take the kind of the teeth out of this offense, we're not going to push it down the field as much, we're going to run the quick game to negate your pass rush, you're going to need good performances from the cornerbacks. And it's funny, because we're at the point where we were getting good performances out of these corners week 5, right? When it was like Rasul Douglas and Jalen Mills, mm-hmm. and you didn't think it was going to be great and everything. They were playing just fine. It was great. They have been shaky recently. Atlanta was obviously a better game. 10 points against Atlanta. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All of them off turnovers. Great. Locking down Julio Jones, fantastic stuff. Darby's been playing very well. Player to watch is Jalen Mills. But he's been a leader for this defense, and we love his nature, but you and I are both pretty tepid on him as a corner with his skills. We're not at the point this time where, you know, if he's got Sanu and Darby's got Julio, and obviously you want to get the ball to Julio, Diggs or Thielen can kill you. It is two-headed monster as far as those wide receivers. At no point is Jalen Mills not potentially a liability. Like, there's nobody you can line up against him where that's not the case, right? And you spoke about Thielen and Diggs moving into the slot as well, so you got to talk about Patrick Robinson. But to me, Jalen Mills is the huge one. Mills simply must either be more disciplined or be more lucky, one of the two, right? You know, and it's very likely going to be the second one if Philadelphia is going to win. That's the nature of it. Schematically, there's only so much you can do when it comes to this quick passing game. And if they get Jalen Mills jumping at shadows, biting forward, coming back and everything, and they get him spun around, it's going to be a long day for Philadelphia. You do not want to get into a points race with Minnesota. That is not a game the Eagles win. The Eagles win the low-scoring, ugly game where they get the ball last. That's the game they win, right? And so Jalen Mills, huge player to watch. He's the crucial one on the defense.
Yep. And one I left off was in the passing game as well. You're going to get Malcolm Jenkins against Kyle Rudolph a lot. I like that matchup for Jenkins. He's been playing well for us recently, and he's a dog in the running game. I think we have some passing and run defense related Twitter questions as well, if you want to open up that Twitter mailbag.
Yeah, Twitter mailbag at Locked On Eagles. Make sure you're following us. Go team. First question coming here from Jake Evans at the Jake Evans X, who is a longtime listener of the show. What's up, Jake? Will Mike Remmers retire mid-game when Brandon Graham moves inside and he has to block Fletcher Cox? Good question. Also, are you worried that after Mike's reverse jinx worked, he is costing us the game picking the Eagles? I'll answer the second one. You can answer the first one. No, I'm not worried, because it isn't a reverse jinx. It's just Mike being wrong and it's me being right. And that's what matters here, is that don't worry about Mike being wrong or anything. I have been correct. Gentle listeners, I have been the one who's known, and I am picking Philadelphia. And so that's what counts. That's what should give us faith. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, as far as Brandon Graham kicking inside and ruining some lives, I'm totally on board with that. Keenum does hold on to the ball a little bit more than other quarterbacks. So even if they're trying to get this short passing game going, I can see him being a little indecisive in some areas. Do you retire from embarrassment, or you act like you have an ankle injury, or what do you do in that situation if you're Remmers?
Right. Do you pull a Brooks Reed? Do you go down and get booed by Philadelphia? Please. Here's what I would like. I would like, and my hope is that there are enough creative leader minds in Philadelphia for this to happen. It's the dog bowl, right? Everybody's wearing the dog masks. I would like, instead of booing, we howl. I think that would be wonderful. I think just like big, like wolf, like woo, like that would be excellent. Next question, Anthony Licciardi, A-Lick Scout. What's more important in advancing to the Super Bowl? Limiting Diggs and Thielen, or consistently pressuring Keenum? Obviously, those kind of go hand in hand. Yeah. Diggs is limited, Thielen is limited, then Keenum's in the pocket for longer. You pressure Keenum, and Diggs and Thielen are limited. We didn't bring up Mike. Thielen, currently questionable, quote-unquote, with a back injury. Right. Very likely that he plays, obviously. But a back injury hurts. Like you go and extend for a pass, you go get hit across the middle of the field. You know, there is reason to question what percentage he's at, just to round out the rest of the the report there, the injury report. Mackenzie Alexander, ribs injury is also questionable. He's a little bit clouded, you know, as far as whether or not he plays. And then Andrew Sendejo with the concussion, also still questionable. I'm sure we'll get more, at least on Sendejo, as we get closer, as we go through the protocol. For the Eagles, Danelle Ellerby, middle linebacker, is questionable as well, but he's been nicked up. I don't anticipate him being unsuited to play. He may not be at full percent, the same thing as Thielen. Thielen and Diggs versus Keenum. I think because of the way the Eagles' defense is structured, pressuring Keenum is the goal, and that one's more important. But those two things do go hand in hand.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'll have more on that injury report as we move throughout this process. I'll have it up on LockedOnEagles.com, my weekly injury impact report. It'll show you what the loss of Sendejo may mean if he can't go with Anthony Harris and they're backing him up, who I thought he played well earlier in the season when he had to go for the Vikings. So, but yeah, like you said, pressuring Keenum should be priority number one. As far as just an overall picture, if you limit Diggs and Thielen, who else is really hurting you from that offense? So, I mean, I feel like, right, you know, you really win in that manner. But again, I mean, that comes with the pressure as well. What's the next question, Ben?
Next up, Johnny Page at Johnny Page 9, friend of the Johnny podcast. So the Eagles rarely double wide receivers, except for AB and ODB in recent years. Assuming they don't double Thielen, which Johnny correctly identified the better wide receiver, way to be Johnny, do you think the Eagles' corners can handle Thielen? And obviously we just talked about Thielen, maybe not at 100%. I think that Ronald Darby can handle Thielen. We just watched Ronald Darby play a good game against Julio Jones. Ronald Darby's a good corner. I've always been bullish on him. Like I said, risk taker, but I've always liked the way that he plays. I think he can be quite good against Thielen. Thielen's strength, you know, 20-second scouting report, comes from his technical ability. Now, he's long, he's powerful, and he's got good speed, but his greatest strength is he is a very technically sound receiver. Huh. Both Diggs and Thielen, very, very good at route runners, very good technicians, and we're going to talk about a little bit more in the next question. But so, when it comes to locking Thielen down, I think Darby, who has more playing experience and is less jumpy than Jalen Mills, has the better chance of locking Thielen down. Then again, I don't like Diggs against Mills, but yeah, I think Darby can. I'm not sure about Jalen.
Yeah, I would agree that Darby is the better matchup there. He's the more athletically fit to stay with Thielen. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Thielen has the nuance that would just put Mills in a blender, and I really hope that doesn't happen. So we'll see how it goes. And then you got to deal with Thielen in the slot. I mean, when they're on the outside and in the inside, it's a whole different story. He can run a whole different route tree, and that's another strength of his game, is being able to run the whole tree. They'll run the mesh concept with him, and we got to limit the yak. You know, that's where we really get hurt too.
Kyle Rudolph scares me so little in his old age. Like, he's Eddie Steady, but he's not the guy that he used to be, nor is he as much of a focal point in that offense as he was when, like, Bradford was running it. I'm fine with Jenkins playing more slot corner on a Thielen or a Diggs, because he, you know, Jenkins probably isn't physically as up to that task as you would like, but as far as savvy goes, as far as not being out of position goes, I think he matches up well in that regard. And so I would like to see that when they're in the slot. Still another Thielen slash Diggs question, this time from Josh Chiramata on Twitter, at Josh Chiramata. Who beats the Eagles on a double move first, Diggs or Thielen? Pick your poison.
my vote would be Thielen, because I really do like his double moves. I think he's cleaner in that area. I would go with Thielen.
I'll vote Diggs because you voted Thielen. No, I mean, like, Thielen tends to be more their stick mover, whereas Diggs tends to be more of a quick hitter or a deep bomb, because he's got that burst to him. And so I think that they might try a double move first with Diggs. Who beats you first is, again, pick your poison. You know what I mean?
It's like, the gods.
I'll put it to you this way. In the event that neither of them beat the Eagles on a double move, Eagles walking out with the W. That's fantastic news. That in and of itself, pretty big win, because those are two good wide receivers, and obviously double moves have been a problem. But who knows, Josh? We'll see how it goes. Next up, I believe the question... Oh, yeah, we're into the silly ones now. This is Anthony Raya on Twitter, at Anthony_Raya. Why is Ben so much smarter than Mike? Is it because of the hair? Mike, I'll let you take this one if you feel like you can handle it.
Bald men are more men than other men because they have too much testosterone and it blocks the hair follicles. So that's what's going on there. As far as being smarter, I mean, I don't know another podcast host in the NFL industry or in that area of expertise that drops as much history knowledge as I do. So it's a little disrespectful. I feel like he's not really listening to the show as much, because if he did, he would catch those sweet, sweet history nuggets.
Yeah, listen, Anthony, I'll be very honest with you. Mike carries the show. I just kind of hop on and say stuff. But no, as far as like all the editing, all the production deals, Mike's the idea guy behind this all. So that's a nonsense question. I'm very lucky to have Mike here bringing me on as the co-host. Last question. This is an interesting one to me. Austin Siebert on Twitter at abert43. Keenum gets hurt in the first series. You know, you don't want to hope for that, but yeah. Vikings play Teddy over Bradford. What is your reaction? Firstly, they'd have to have all three active, which would be a surprise. Right. Usually, Mike Zimmer-led teams are a two-quarterback active sort of team. Mm. But, dude, what would you think? Teddy over... Oh, I'll start with this. Who would you prefer comes out, and then what would you think if it were Teddy over Bradford?
I would prefer that... And I like Teddy as a quarterback, but I would prefer that Teddy comes out. He's probably a lot rustier. Bradford can pick you apart when he's healthy, if he is healthy. I mean, before he got injured and went out, he had one of the best games of his career and was throwing some beautiful
against
passes.
Against New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game from him. So I would rather see Bridgewater just because he's the rustier of the two for sure.
I agree with you. Teddy would be rusty, and I agree with you that Teddy is a good quarterback. I would want Bradford, and here's why. This stadium would go.
Oh, yeah, they're
going
to rock.
Insane. They would try to murder him. Jim Schwartz would be in gauge 8, man. Jim Schwartz would be like that 12-year-old that you play on Madden who's like, listen, cover 0 every time. Here we go.
Yep.
They would try to, like, if they put in Bradford instead of Bridgewater, we would eventually see Bridgewater anyway because they would break Bradford, yeah. Right? Like, just like, that's the thing. Like, we talk about, oh, it's the Jeff Fisher Bowl. Can you imagine if the quarterbacks were healthy? It'd be the Wentz-Bradford Bowl. It would be Wentz-Bradford.
Oh my God.
It would be 2016. You know, Bradford is our starter. No, don't worry. We're bringing him in to learn North Dakota State, FCS school. Fast forward 3 weeks. Bradford's been traded to Minnesota. Can you imagine if the quarterbacks were healthy for this game, Mike? Yeah. Wow. Right? And so I would love to see Bradford. I just think that would be, like, what a storyline. I also think, you know, playing Bridgewater, he'd be rusty. The Eagles would beat up on him nicely. But if it were Bradford, it would take on a whole different, like, emotional meaning. You know what I mean? So that's interesting. But yeah, that'll do it for our Twitter mailbag, man. Two straight days of Twitter mailbag. Good stuff.
Ben, let's get to the final score predictions. And we are actually going to do both of these games. Let's start with Jacksonville at New England. First off, do you buy that Tom Brady no longer has a hand? That's what I'm seeing on the timeline.
that Tom Brady amputated his throwing hand. He will be throwing with his left hand moving forward.
Right.
No. So obviously, from what we understand here, from what we've heard, Brady has a sort of a muscle strain inside of his right hand, right? Something along these lines. And he's had it for multiple weeks. This isn't like it just developed against the Jaguars. And so this is something that he's been playing with and something that he's been dealing with. And, you know, obviously they made it to the AFC Championship game, so he's playing at least decently. I'll put it to you this way. I will bite on any piece of hope that I can that the Patriots are slightly less than 100% for a very important game. All right. I don't care if that makes me a dumb optimist. I want the Patriots to lose. I want the Patriots to lose almost as badly as I want the Eagles to win. Mike, I hate the Patriots so much. So yeah. Brady's thumb is messed up, and I'm going to believe that matters until he's hung 45 against the Jaguars. I'm going to. I don't care. Yes, it absolutely is a problem.
35-17 Patriots is my score.
31-23 Jaguars beat the Patriots.
Ooh, hot take.
Yes, sir. I will say, Michael, the spread has gone down from 9, I believe it was, Patriots over Jaguars, to 7.5. Jaguars were plus 340. Upright, now they're plus 260. So the line has adjusted for a potential Brady injury.
Did you get in at that 340 before it moved down?
No, I didn't take that. But if the Jaguars were to win, I will act as if I got that money. Listen, all I want in the world is Jalen Ramsey media 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Did you hear his most recent quote? He was asked, you know, the Patriots, you know, they're trying to, like, they're being very nice about, like, you guys, and they're, like, being very complimentary.
Yeah.
Like, what does it feel like to, like, have, like, you know, the like, your opponent saying such kind, like, complimentary things about you? And Jalen says, well, it's hard to gas somebody who's already gassed.
Yeah.
Like, fully self-aware. Oh, I love it. He's hysterical.
Give me a reason that the Jaguars wouldn't play a lot more man coverage than they do, because they played about 26-27% of the time, and why they wouldn't put Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski, like, shadow him when he's detached or whatever the case may be.
Because when you've played 18 games and you got to the AFC Championship game, you don't stop doing what you did. Right, I can guarantee you 100% that they have in the defensive playbook a red button nuclear code. We got to put Ramsey on Gronk.
Right.
If they need that at some point in the game. But you don't walk into a game doing a completely different defensive scheme than that which got you there. You don't. You have the contingency plan. At least they should. And I believe that they do. But you don't start out changing things. First, you play to your strength and you say, let's beat the Patriots doing what we've done to every other team. And then if you're down on the Patriots, you need to stop Gronk. You say, all right, let's make adjustments.
See, I think this is where their defense is messing up, because playing to their strength, when they play man coverage, they're only allowing a 55% completion percentage. When Gronkowski is covered by a cornerback, quarterback rating to him is 55. 55, 55, man. Can't go wrong with that. Hit that red button now, Jacksonville.
Listen, I guarantee you we will see Jalen Ramsey man coverage on Gronk at some point against New England. It will happen. What I'm saying is you don't walk out and show Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, listen, we're already selling out to stop Gronkowski. Because then Amendola is going to have a 15-catch, 123-touchdown-yard game. Deion Lewis is going to have 200 catches. Like that, they're going to nickel and dime you to death.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I'm not saying every play, but like a healthy 50 to 60%, I think, would help them out a little bit. Anyway, we'll move on to the Eagles against the Minnesota Vikings. NFC Championship game, one game away from the Super Bowl. Ben.
Dude, craziness.
How do you have it?
So I've got it 16-13, excuse me. I've been fluctuating between 16-10 and 16-13. Give me 16-13 Philadelphia over the Vikings. I have Philadelphia winning this game. I brought it up, I believe, on Purple for the Win with Andy Carlson. And I'll say it here on Locked On Eagles. Tough, sloppy, defensive game. And when I say sloppy, I don't mean like bad execution. I just mean like dirty. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like tough, difficult game for both teams. I mean, like, there's gonna, you know, you're gonna go through the ESPN play by play and it's gonna be like three plays punt, four plays punt, five plays punt, three plays punt, you know, just like this is the sort of game that we're gonna have. When it comes to that sort of a situation, I'm looking at two things: who's the home team, and then I'm looking at special teams. And I think the Eagles obviously have advantage with home team, and then I think they have advantage with special teams as well. I think Jake Elliott's gonna be a huge part of the game. I think Jake Elliott's gonna hit 240 plusers, man. Like, you get a turnover inside of, you know, the 50, right, already in plus territory. I think Jake Elliott, you know, you have the range on him. You know, he's not only got that range, he's been consistently hitting from that range too. Yeah. He's very confident, especially in the link, you would imagine. So I think Jake Elliott is a huge part of that game. Let's not forget, you know, Kai Forbath, obviously hugely important field goal that he hit for Minnesota to go ahead, and then New Orleans comes back. Kai Forbath also missed a 49-yarder, right. I believe it was, in a dome. Kai Forbath, they picked him up. You know, he has not been Jake Elliott level kicking so far this year. And so I think the Eagles have a big advantage there. Like I said, Jalen Mills, my player to watch on the defensive side. Obviously, Danielle Ellerbe, his health is a huge question as well. For me on the offensive side, Zach Ertz. I think that Zach Ertz has the best of the matchups. That secondary is very, very good for Minnesota. And so I think, you know, you're going to struggle. Aguilar out of the slot will be helpful, but Aguilar is kind of a complimentary piece. He doesn't run the offense out of the slot. You know what I mean? I think Zach Ertz, who didn't necessarily have a huge game against Atlanta, against those really well-moving, those quick linebackers, Nick Foles hasn't turned him as much as Wentz did. I think they could really look to reintroduce Zach Ertz on the offensive side. And then, of course, as we've been talking about, offensive line got to dominate in the trenches. But I'll take Eagles 16-13.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are able to win at the line on both sides of the ball, in most cases, definitely even more so on the defensive line than on the offensive line. But I still think that we can protect Foles as needed. And going back to your special teams point, Brian Braman got his fingers on a punt last week, and a punt block would be gigantic in this game. So things happen in the playoffs, man. It gets weird. And this is a defense that hasn't allowed a single point in the last 2 minutes of any game this season. And you get the feeling that this game is going to hinge on a single play. And if it's a fourth down conversion, I have full confidence that the Eagles win that battle. Zimmer's much more conservative in that area, by the way. 1-for-7 on the year on fourth down. Give me Big Balls Doug to come through at some point towards the end of the game with a crucial conversion that could really define the narrative around him this offseason. 14-13 Eagles. Let's go. Ben, what else do we have for the gentle listeners?
I'm terrified. We have terror and nerves, man. I'm so excited for this game. Listen, this has been the final preview podcast. We split it up into two for you. This is releasing on Saturday, the day before the game. Of course, if you have any questions, takes, something you want our takes on, breaking news, find us on Twitter. Mike and I are going to be all over the place, all over this game. We want to give you guys some of the best coverage. We've been very blessed, receiving a lot of really good feedback, a huge boost in listeners over these past few weeks. And we just want to take a second, a big thank you to all of you guys who've reached out to us on Twitter, who've left such wonderful reviews. We're so glad to be giving you guys this good coverage. We intend to keep doing it moving forward, whether that's preparing for one more big game, the SB game, the word I'm still not saying. It's bad juju to say it, Mike, as you know. Or that's preparing for the draft, you know, getting on that 3-month process before the draft in April. We're ready to be bringing that to you. So next week, we'll see what it is we're previewing. Either it's the draft or it's the big game, as it were. But either way, I've been Ben Solak on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's Mike on Twitter at Michael Kissed NFL. On whatever app you listen to your podcasts, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. We do appreciate it so much. Fly, Eagles, fly, man.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Ca-ca! I feel like I should. Should I do a dog sound too?
No. Dog and an eagle?
That was the strongest caca ever. I've saved it until now. It's time. Like, I'm, oh man. I feel like this is like, there should be like dramatic Remember the Titans music playing in the background.
There's nowhere to go but down from here for you.
Bum, 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 bum.
What is that? Is that like a Mentos commercial?
No, that's like that, like, that's the mythic music they played here, like slow-mo runs, like. Bum, 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 bum. You know what I'm talking about. What's it called? Okay. Chariots of Fire.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah.